Father God, I thank you for today. I thank you, Lord, we can come together and learn from your word. Lord, we come today with a heart of expectancy, ready and willing to receive from you. In your name I pray. Amen. Amen. All right, well, today we have some people speaking for us. Miss Dorothy, Miss Cherish, Josh, and Emily are going to be speaking for us today. So if you all want to come up here, and we'll pray for you. Nick, you want to pray for him?
Lord God, I thank you for these people, Lord God. I pray you bless the words that they say and that we'll all be able to learn from the revelation that you've given them, Lord God. Thank you for that. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Amen. Ms. Dorothy?
Good morning. I have 2 minutes to give you a nugget of truth from the Word of God that I believe will help us walk in the blessing of prosperity and also in the blessing of receiving all of our needs met. That word is in Isaiah 1:19. Isaiah 1:19. Isaiah 1:19 says to us, that if you are willing and obedient, you shall eat the good of the land. If you are willing and obedient, you shall eat the good of the land. If you are willing and obedient, you shall eat the good of the land. Now, sometimes I've been willing and not obedient. And sometimes I've been obedient and not willing. And sometimes I've been willing in the beginning, got halfway in the middle, got unwilling, and started murmuring and complaining. And none of those ways qualify us to eat the good of the land. Now, my heart's desire is to please the Father. And I know that's your heart's desire, too. And he's not left us down here alone to work this out for ourselves. But in Philippians 2:13, he says, in his word to us, that it is God that worketh in us both to will and to do of his good pleasure. We all want to please the Father, don't we? And he wants us to receive everything that Jesus has provided for us, because Jesus paid a dear price. He paid his life. He paid his precious blood. So my challenge to you today is to get before the Creator of us all, who knows us better than we know ourselves, and to ask him to reveal to us by his Holy Spirit within us where we have been unwilling, where we have been disobedient, so that we can make the adjustments in our heart, and then we can please the Father by eating the good of the land. That is very important for him. It gives the Father great joy to see that his people prosper and receive everything that he has provided for us. So let us get willing, and let us get obedient, and let us eat the good of the land and give the Father great joy.
Okay, we've been going over some things the past few weeks, so I'd just like to touch on that. But first of all, I'd like to ask a few people a question. Aunt Sherry, why do you go to work? Really simply put, why do you go to work? Limit it to two words, please, okay? Why do you go to work?
Money.
Luke, why do you go to school? So you can make more money. Caleb, why do you go to school? So you can learn. I thought I went to school because I had to, not so I had to learn. Okay, so that's why we do that. Okay, let me ask another question. Let me think here. Let me see who I'm going to ask. Ben, what is our purpose in life? What is the big picture? To seek first the kingdom of God. Narrow that down a little bit for me. To further the kingdom, okay. Emily, no, I already called on you. Emily, why? What's the big picture in life? What is the big picture? To fulfill God's plan. Okay, now Let's turn to Luke 4:18 right now, okay? Let's turn there. Put your hand down. I'm not going to call on you again. Okay, tell me when you get there. You there? Okay, would you read that for me? Go ahead.
The Spirit of the Lord is in me. This is because God chose me to tell the good news to the poor. God sent me to tell the prisoners of sin that they are free, and to tell the blind that they can see again. God sent me to free those who have been treated unfairly.
Okay, so there you go. Basically, that is how you fulfill the will of God, okay? By setting people free, spiritually, emotionally, physically, loosing chains on people. That's God's will, right? Okay, now, here's the difference, okay? We've got, over here, we've got our day-to-day activities, such as going to work and going to school, okay? Then over here, we've got the big picture, okay? We know what we're supposed to be doing over here in the big picture, but day-to-day, we have our perception of why we're doing those things. The key is, in order to fulfill that purpose, is to change our mindset towards the day-to-day activities, myself included, okay? So in those day-to-day activities, when you're teaching at school, when you're going to school, when you're going to work, the idea is you wake up every morning with the big picture in mind. And when you do that, it'll make it much easier to fulfill your purpose, okay? And that's the importance of waking up every morning and saying, Lord, this morning, what I do, may it glorify you, and I am here for this purpose, okay? So a lot of times I know it's easy. We have these two separate things, and you go, in life, I want to fulfill God's purpose. But then on a day-to-day basis, you're going, I'm going to work to make money, I'm going to school to learn, you know, and that's good, but the end result is what we're looking for, right? So if you wake up in the morning, I would challenge you to do this and say, Lord, today I fulfill your purpose by going to school. I fulfill your purpose by going to work. I'm furthering the kingdom, and that's why I'm doing what I'm doing. It's going to change your outlook on life. Amen? That's what I have.
That's good. I love how God works these things out, all the things that he has come out of each of us, including Dorothy and Josh so far. But probably about a month ago, I was just reading through my journal. I have a journal I do, maybe not every day, but frequently. And the Lord told me to go back to a certain sermon. We had a man named Bill Adcott come, I don't know, a year and a half ago or 2 years, I don't know. But he had came and he preached on a verse from 2 Chronicles 16:9 that you guys will probably find familiar. You don't have to turn there. I'll read it for you. It says, and just to give you an idea, after you hear this, it might be a good idea to go back and read that chapter. It talks about King Asa, and he was one of the kings who he actually went in and he did a lot of good things for the Lord. He went in and restored the treasuries that were in the Lord's temple, etc. But a prophet came to him and said, basically told him, you know, you're not on the right path. You have been doing your own thing. You once trusted the Lord, but now you are trusting in your own things. And he made a comment, and that comment sticks to me, and I've heard a lot of people preach about it and say, this is what God does all the time, you know, and they've kind of put it in the context of God is looking for people that fit the bill. So it says, for the eyes of the Lord range throughout the earth to strengthen those whose hearts are fully committed to him. And he goes on and says some other stuff, but when I hear that verse, I always think, oh, I hope God's eyes lean on me. Like in my heart, there's this, it just wells up. And I've always been like, please lean on me, God, please lean on me, lean on me, you know? Well, the Lord directed me to this. And I never noticed before. It sounds really silly. I'd read it so many times, but my mind had been so focused on wanting the Lord to rest his eyes on me and choose me that I never noticed that it says his eyes don't go through the earth searching for someone. It says the eyes of the Lord go throughout the earth to strengthen those whose hearts are fully committed to him. And I always thought, you know, well, is my heart fully committed? How many of you have thought that? And you always have the devil or condemnation in the back of your head saying, well, there's something missing for me. I'm not perfect, you know. But the word says, and this is how it says it in the Amplified, also, it says they go throughout the earth to show himself strong on the behalf of those whose hearts are blameless toward him. Now, at the same time that I had been going through my journal, I'd also been reading Ephesians and really kind of focusing on chapter 1. So if you go to chapter 1:4, it's an interesting thing how the word, you know, supports itself throughout. There are tons of other verses, but this verse is good. Ephesians 1:4 says, let me get there, I have it marked. The NIV says, for he chose us in him before the creation of the world to be holy and blameless in his sight. And then the Amplified says, and remember that those hearts who are set and steadfastly focused on the Lord. Remember that whole doubt that, oh, maybe my heart isn't steadfast. Well, the word says, even as in his love, he chose us. Okay, nothing to do with me. He actually picked us out from himself as his own. So before you were created, God had already chosen you. You know, you get into a lot of discussions about predestination, but this is what the word says, and it's simple. So in Christ, before the foundation of the world, that we should be wholly consecrated and set apart for him. And here's that word, blameless hearts. It's in Ephesians, blameless in his sight. So because you have Christ and you've relied on Christ, you are instantaneously blameless in God's sight. There is nothing that you can do to make yourself blameless, okay? Blameless in his sight, even above reproach. There was another version that I read somewhere about the 16:9, made a point in talking about the above reproach, but we are above reproach before him in love, okay? And then another thing I've been thinking about lately, and this is not what I planned, but if you read in Hebrews, it also talks about entering into the rest of the Lord. So you really, you got to know who you are. God has chose you and destined you, and he searches, you know, for opportunities to show himself strong on your behalf. There's nothing you have to do, okay? Amen.
Isaiah chapter 40, verse 8. The grass withers, the flower fades, but the word of our God stands forever. Psalm 119, 133. This is an NIV version. Direct my footsteps according to your word. Let no sin rule over me. We have to follow God's word and believe in it. What good is it to know something and not use it? God's word does us no good if we don't use it. If you knew important information that could change somebody's life in a positive way, wouldn't you want to share it with them? 2 Samuel chapter 22, verse 31. As for God, his way is perfect. The word of the Lord is flawless. He is a shield for all who take refuge in him. We can use God's word to share the gospel and show his love and give light to people. If we don't know his word, then how can we share it? Psalm 119, 105. Your word is a lamp to my feet and light for my path. Hebrews 4:12. For the word of God is living and active, sharper than any double-edged sword. It penetrates even to dividing soul and spirit, joints and marrow. It judges the thoughts and attitudes of the heart. We can also use his word if anything tries to come against us, because it's sharper than any two-edged sword. This is why it's so important to spend time in his word and with him so that we can share it with others.
Bless God. Well, I love the fact that God speaks through each and every one of you. You can tell when you get up here that God has placed something on your heart that he wants you to deliver to us. And that excites me. Does that excite you? Amen. Amen. Well, today we're going to look at our vision. Why we're doing this, why we're talking. Why do you get up here and speak? Why is my microphone cord stuck on the podium? I don't know, but it's going to stay there. Mysteries of the cosmos. So, I believe that God is doing a good work in each one of you. Amen? Amen. Turn to Philippians with me. Philippians chapter 1, verse 6. I believe God has begun a good work in each one of you. As you get up here to speak, God's moving, and he's speaking through you. He gives you the words to speak, and he puts things on your heart that he wants you to share with each of us. So here, Philippians chapter 1, verse 6. It says, being confident of this very thing, that he which hath begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. Amen. God has begun a good work in you, and he is going to perform it. God started something great in each one of you. I can see it when you get up here. I can see the potential that God has placed on the inside of you. He's placed something great. Like I believe it was Ms. Cherish said, he has predestined you. He has predestined you. He's called you out before time, before you were even created. He goes, this is my child in whom I am well pleased. I want to work through you. And God wants to work through you. And so when you get up here and when you speak, God wants to grow you. He wants to stretch you so that he can mold you into something that he can use. Amen? So why are we speaking? Why do you get up here and speak? Does anybody have a reason why they get up here and speak? Or do you just get up here and speak because Luke told you to? And that would be a good idea, maybe. Anyone? Why do you get up here and speak? What's your purpose in speaking? To further the kingdom, to edify others. That's correct. Anyone else? Ms. Cherish? As part of the body, we all have something to offer. That's correct. So we are trying to pull out a gift, a talent that is within each one of you. Think of it like this. If you're talented at a sport, you have something that God has placed on the inside of you, and he's given you a talent, an ability to do something that normally you could not do on your own, but he has placed it on the inside of you. And what we're trying to do, we're trying to nurture that and grow that so you can get to the place where if you were called on to do a Sunday service, you could get up and speak, whether it's at this church or another church. You'd be at a place of maturity where you could get up and do that. If the opportunity presented itself and they needed someone to speak, maybe at an outreach, a Bible outreach that you went to, and you had to stand on a soapbox and preach on a street corner, that you would be able to do that, that God would be able to use you as an instrument, that you would have the boldness and the courage to say, here I am, Lord, use me, because I believe that I can do this, because you said that I can do it. So we are getting to that place where you go, you know what? I can speak for a half hour and teach discipleship because God has placed that ability within me. So we are trying to grow something here and nurture something so that you can step into everything that God has called you to do. And I know sometimes, you know, it seems uncomfortable to get up here. It seems, you know, uneasy. You go, I'm supposed to speak today for 7 minutes or for 15 minutes and I don't like speaking in front of people. I'm not called to do that, or I don't like doing that. But God has called each of us to minister his gospel to the brokenhearted. Like Josh said when he read Luke 4:18, our commission in life is to preach the gospel to those that are hurting, to set the captives free. And you can't do that if you can't step out of your comfort zone and let the Lord use you. It stretches you. And it's not always comfortable. It's not always easy. But that's how the Lord uses you. He wants you to grow. If it was always easy, you would never grow. It's kind of like working out. If it was always easy, then everyone would be, you know, extremely muscular. But not everyone is, including myself. So that's part of the training. That's why we call it discipleship training, because it's not always easy, but it's the right thing. It's not always fun, but it's what gets results. Because God wants to use you, and if you never step out of what's easy and what's fun and what everyone else is doing, if you never step out and you go, I know, Lord, you're telling me to do this, and I'm going to do it whether or not I feel like it, if you step out into that, God can use you. Peter was the one that got the chance to walk on the water because he stepped out and did something that may have not been comfortable. And yeah, a lot of people yell at him for falling through, you know, and losing sight of Jesus, but he walked on water, and I think that's pretty cool. You know, I'd like to do that. That'd be kind of awesome. But if you think about it, he did walk on water because he was willing to step out and do something. And so we're getting to that point where you can step out. You can lead a group. You can lead a Bible study, you know, at your work, at your school. You can lead a Bible study. You can lead people to Christ. You can sit down with someone one-on-one and train them and go, this is what the Lord has showed me for your life. You can lay hands on the sick and you can see them recover. I believe. I can see you doing that. I can see you doing that. I believe each one of you has what it takes to be a leader. I believe each one of you has what it takes to be a leader. Aunt Sherry, I can see you laying hands on the sick and seeing them recover. Lily, I can see you preaching to multitudes and leading multitudes to Jesus Christ. I can see God using each one of you to do his work. Amen? Amen. Amen. So this is how we are going to fulfill, like Josh said, that Luke 4:18. This is how we're going to fulfill that, is by stepping out and being bold. Now, it's going to take some stretching, not guaranteeing. The Lord never says anywhere in his Bible that it's going to be easy. He just says that it's going to be the thing that once you do it, you'll look back and it'll bring you great joy. Great joy. I look at, you know, where I was and where I am now and my ability to speak, and it's freeing. It's liberating. Because even though sometimes you feel uneasy, you feel a little bit uncomfortable and you feel a little bit nervous, you go, you know what, Lord? I'm going to do this anyway. Whether or not I feel afraid, whether or not there's peer pressure, I'm going to do it because you said it's the right thing to do. And you have placed that in my heart, and I won't let that fear hold me back anymore. I won't let that hold me back anymore because you have given me the skills to do it. Because it's not me anymore, but it's you that's doing it. Amen? Amen. Amen. So the pastor's been talking to us some. He said the youth need to get more involved in ministry here in the church and also outside the church. Here in the church and also outside the church. So for the youth, I do have some homework for you. I want you to pray this week about what God wants us as a body of believers in the youth group, what he wants us to do. If he wants us to go on an outreach, if he wants us to go door-to-door witnessing, what he wants us to do, pray about that, write it down, and bring it next Sunday so we can talk about that after church. So for the youth, pray about that. Ask God, God, what do you want us to do as a body? What do you want us to do as a collective group of believers? Amen? Amen. All right. We're going to close with a word of prayer, and then they're going to get ready for the service. Father God, I thank you for today. I thank you, Lord, that you have placed your word in our hearts. I thank you, Lord, for this time that we can receive and we can grow in you. I thank you, Lord, that you stretch us and you grow us in you. In your name I pray. Amen. Amen. You're dismissed till they are done setting up for service.